Today is March 1st, 1973.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And I'm interviewing Mrs. Alvis Lagleader.
What is your first name?
Mary.
Mary, in La Crosse, Texas. Mrs. Lagleader, I understand that your husband is a relative of Father Jerome Lagleader and Father George Lagleader.
Yes. His father was their brother.
And what was their father's name?
Alois.
Alois. Your husband's name is Alvis.
Yes, his name should be Alois, but the army changed it for him.
From Alois to Alvis.
They made Alvis out of it, and so he went through the war over in France and everywhere, World War One. And when he come back, well, his records all showed Alvis. And I begged him to change his name. No, I'm not going to all of that to have that change.
Oh, so he had his father's name originally.
Uh-huh.
And so Alois, and what was the, how many people were in the family? Do you know Father George and Father Jerome? Do you know if it was
I really don't recall all. There was a Joe, and there was a bunch of boys, and one girl.
Now, did this family live in this country, or did they all come over from Europe?
None of them live in this country. My husband's father decided to come over here when he was about 16 or 17 years old. And a group of young people come over from Germany at that time. And they never saw their parents anymore and never did get to go back.
Oh.
And the parents never did come over. Mm-hmm. So, then the priest, I don't know if they come, I don't think they come at the same time. I believe the priests were here before that time, sort of like missionary priests.
And they probably wrote back home, and that's what made the other.
Yeah, that's why I think that. And, by the way, he had an uncle also, Uncle Joe Lagleader. He lived in this country. He come over too.
And he was also a brother?
Yes.
Of these priests?
Yeah, yes. Uh-huh. A brother, and he lived right close to where Alvis Lagleader lived down at in Bastrop County and String Prairie.
Oh, I see.
St. Mary's Church.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're especially interested in Father Jerome Lagleader because he was stationed in Canterville from 1892 to 1895.
Yeah.
And we have quite a bit in our St. Louis Society minutes about him, that after he left Canterville, he went back to his native city of Germany. And what was that again?
Geiersberg.
And he died there.
Yes.
I wonder, do you know anything, was he ill at the time? Is that why he went back? Because he wasn't too old.
No, that I wouldn't know. I don't know if I have that down here.
Mrs. Lagleader, your brother, I mean your husband was Alvis, and his brother, Ed, is married to your sister.
Anna.
Uh-huh. Now you, who were Anna and you before you married?
Groman. Daughters of Frank Groman.
Uh-huh. And where were you from?
Same place down String Prairie.
Mr. Lagleader originally came from Bastrop County.
Oh, yes.
I see.
We all originated by there.
Uh-huh. Well, what made you move to this community?
Well, that's kind of a long story. After we were married, we settled down in Fayette County in a little old place called Amonsville. And, then the Army called him in 1917 in October. We had to leave there, and then he was in the service in San Antonio, Camp Travis. Then, after he went over and was gone for over a year or so, he come back and we settled in Smithville. And in 1924, they had such a bad crop, he was a blacksmith. He had a lot of credit out everywhere. No one could pay him. So what were we to live off?
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, we have to leave. And we went to San Antonio then. And he got work in San Antonio first as a streetcar motorman. He didn't like that. And then he went to Cottonton. And from that on, Mr. Hillebrand needed a carpenter. And had him there almost steady, I don't know how many years. And then this place was for sale, and says, why do you drive back and forth every day? Just buy this place, it's reasonable. And, I didn't want to leave San Antonio, but we did. And so that's why we're here.
Well, what was your brother-in-law, Ed, what was his profession?
A barber.
Oh, I see. And was he a barber all his life?
Most of his married life. He was a farmer up to the time. They all were on the farm. We were.
Uh-huh.
And,
Now, how old are you, Mrs. Bagleader?
I was 80 in September.
80
in
September. That's the same. I have September birthday, too.
Isn't that right?
Okay. How many children do you have?
I have the three boys.
Louis? No, your oldest is?
Ray. He lives in Denton.
Uh-huh. And then Louis,
uh-huh.
who is our local school president, school board president at the moment. And then George lives in Austin. Right?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
He works for the, what do you call it?
Southwestern Publishing Company. Now I'm interviewing Mrs. Margaret Keller in La Coste. And Mrs. Keller, how old are you?
81.
Oh, 81. I thought you were
82 in April.
I thought you were. I thought you were about 85, and you're just a spring mm-hmm. chicken.
Oh yeah.
No. Your husband was
Gus Keller.
Gus Keller. Now, how many children do you have, Mrs. Keller?
I have five.
Five?
Lost one of them.
Lost one of them, okay. And who were your parents?
Leo and Catherine Sherhart.
Leo and Catherine Sherhart. Now, who was Catherine before she married?
Snyder.
Snyder. I understand y'all had a large family. How many sisters and brothers did you have all together?
Well, I had three living brothers. One died as a baby.
Uh-huh.
And I had five sisters. We were 10 in the family, you know.
You were 10 children. Now, you're one of the grandchildren of Nicholas Sherhart, and Nicholas was the first Sherhart that came over.
Mm-hmm.
There are about 17 grandchildren living. I guess you knew this. I mean, we've been just sort of mm-hmm. going over this, and I think there's about 17 living, and you're one of them. Where were you born?
Well, you know where Edith lives now?
Uh-huh.
That's where I was
that
born.
That was the Leo Sherhart home. Then also that was the Nicholas Sherhart home.
I think it was.
Yes.
I'm not sure, but I guess it was.
One of the others told me that, Howard Sherhart told me that was the Nicholas Sherhart
mm-hmm.
home.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Where did you go to school? The sister
That's
school?
The sister school, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How many years did you go about?
Not many.
Not many.
I don't know about how many.
But it was in German at that time?
Yes.
Do you remember any of the teachers?
Who was the Marcella?
You had Marcella, too.
Oh, yes. Why, do you remember her?
No, but everyone else remembers her. You know, my father and everyone
Marcella.
That went to school.
Strict teacher, but she was a good one.
She was a good one. That's what everyone says. I understand she was a good teacher. And then Father Heckman, Father Kidd was here at that time, right?
Father Kidd. When did you come here?
Father Kidd. And then Heckman came in 9, and I imagine mm-hmm. you knew him. Now, when were you born?
91.
Mm-hmm. Father Brooklyn was in Cassville at that time. Mm-hmm. Then Father Jerome Lagleader came in 92, mm-hmm. so I imagine you don't remember either one of them.
No.
You were too small. You remember the rectory burning in 96? You were just... You'd be just 5 years old, 4 years old.
No,
you don't remember that.
I don't
that?
Remember too much of that. I don't think so.
Uh huh.
Mm-mm.
Okay, now I understand that your father had his arm shot off.
Mm-hmm.
How did it happen?
Well, shattered. Uh-huh. Well, he was a deputy, or what they call him in Castroville. You know, we'd come home from the field, and when we got home, they said. Right away for him to come down.
Having some trouble.
Trouble in town. There's some strangers around. They shot out the lights at the hotel and different places.
Uh-huh.
Of course, he went down. And about an hour later, we heard he was shot. Lost his arm through that.
Uh-huh. Now, who were these men that...
They had him, and Dad says to one of them, I got him here, but watch him now. I'm going to go after the other one. By the time they got here, well, this one was gone. They were both gone.
And never caught them again?
Never caught them. No
they were from Bandera, though.
They were from somewhere there. They traced them to the river, but, you know, from the blood.
Oh.
They were shot, too.
Oh,
know?
They were shot
mm-hmm.
also.
But traced them to the river. Dad didn't shoot him. He beat him, you know.
Uh-huh.
And told the other fellow, I don't remember.
Well, was your dad a farmer also?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was his main profession.
Oh, yeah.
How old were you when you married?
I was 18.
18. And where did you meet Mr. Keller?
Castroville.
Castroville. He lived in Castroville.
Born and raised there.
Okay, who were his parents?
Joe. And Mary Keller.
Joe and Mary Keller.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was brought up in Castroville also. Well, how did you all move to Lacoste?
Well, he worked at Lacoste in the store that was for Tundra and Keller, it was, you know, in there. And then they had this one here, Tundra and Keller. So, Grandpa Keller, but Gus worked here for years with Edmund Keller.
Mm-hmm.
In the store, running it for them.
Now, but Edmund was his uncle?
Yeah, no, they were cousins.
Cousins.
Uh-huh. And then Keller sold to Tundra, and Tundra to Keller sold it out, and Keller moved to Lacoste. Oh, Grandpa
and
Keller
stayed in Castro.
Uh-huh. And Tundra took the store at Castro.
Uh-huh.
And
that's
of course, Gus worked here before, you know, before
y'all moved here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the Shear Harbor Union?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, when was
67.
The... Yes. What year was that one, the first one taken?
Don't ask me that. Maybe on those, on the one, I have one, I don't remember what I...
1914 is what somebody thought it was.
That's cool.
You don't really remember? Mm-hmm. Then do you remember when the last one was held? 1929, something like that?
Yeah. That was Maddie and Molly.
Your two sisters, Maddie and Molly, and mm-hmm. they married
two brothers.
And who were they?
Joe Haynes and Ed Haynes.
And Ed Haynes.
It was Molly's husband and Joe.
With Maddie's
mm-hmm. husband.
And then also two Shearhart boys married two R girls.
Mm-hmm.
Then also you had twins in your family.
Yes. Yeah.
August and Ida.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. We went up there.
In 1900, during the heavy flood.
Mother says, oh, I got my bread in the oven. And it'll be baked and so Dad says, I'll get it. But he just had that one arm, you know. And he had to get that bread out of the oven, put it in a sack, and he held that in his mouth, the sack. You know, to keep it away from the horse he was riding. He was riding the horse. That's how he brought our bread up there.
Uh-huh.
And we weren't hardly up there. They said it isn't rising no more.
Uh-huh. Well, did many people from Casper go up there?
Oh, there's quite a few went up there. But Ed Haynes, he lived, oh, down there where, what's his name now? It's got that rock house. You know that long rock house here, right, where Herbert Tundra lived?
Oh,
now.
Yes, Johnson's.
Ed Haynes lived there.
Uh-huh.
And he had his grandparents in the same house. They were old people,
uh-huh.
bedridden. And he says, I'm not going to move these people away from here until I have to. So he had his wagon ready, had bed in it and everything. And till Dad went down, he says, you don't have to move him because it's going down, just leave him now. And I remember that so well, and
uh-huh.
they were talking about it.
So you're the only one left
only
of the Leo Sheriff family.
Family.
And you were
the baby.
The baby.
Mm-hmm.
Did they spoil you?
I don't know. The boys said they did, I don't know. It was built as a hotel, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who built
Amy,
it?
Joe Schmidt built it.
Joe Schmidt. Mm-hmm. From Castroville?
He lived at Divine.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. But he built it.
And it was a hotel?
It was a hotel.
Well, who ran it when it first opened? You did?
No, I was the last one that, when we bought it. We bought it in 28, and I run it for a year. Then cars started coming in. You see, before that, traveling salesmen come on the train, and they had to find a way to go to Castaway. And that's where my dad come in. He had the mail hack. For 27 years, he drove that mail hack.
Oh, I see.
Him and the boys, you know. And we made two trips down here every day. And so after that, you know, when
the cars
started coming, well, the salesman didn't come by so much. But I tell you, I made money. And that year, I put a dollar a day away. My husband never knew what. And I fed my people 50 cents. All they could eat, you know, family style.
Well, in 1911, when this was built, who ran the first hotel?
I tell you, I don't know who was the first one that was in here, whether it was Miss Biediger, what was his name?
1911 was the year several things happened around here. The dam was built, and also the church was built in the cost, you see. And did you work here for them?
What?
That you said you fed the people that...
No, I lived up there, and I cooked for the most of them, you know, that were working.
Oh, on the church, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you know who...
Church, and this house, it was everything built that same year, you know.
Oh, I see. Who was the builder of the Lacoste Church, do you know?
I can't tell you the names of who was the builder.
I imagine they have
They built this place here, and Paul Rankin and Hillhorn were the tenants. They put that roof on, that first roof that was on.
Now, when you went to school, did you, you say you went to Sister Marcella, but Father, which priest was it that taught you?
What, in for communion, uh-huh. So? Father Kitty.
Father Kitty. Uh-huh. Okay, what do you remember about him?
What shall I say? He says, was ich dein Name?
He said this to you.
Yes. And I says, Maggie. And he says, das ein Eselname. And I says, was ich denn? And then he says, Margaret. It's dein Name. And I says, well, in the special case, das ist nicht, warum hast du mich gebraucht?
So then what did he do? When
he had laughed so much he just couldn't put his head up no more. He had a laugh. And that's the first time I ever seen that priest laugh. That's a fact.
It is March the 1st, 1973, and I'm now interviewing Mrs. Almedia Shearhart. Mrs. Shearhart, what is your full name?
Edith Almedia
Shearhart.
Yeah.
And you were born?
In the Haiti settlement, I guess it's called.
And your name was?
Edith Almedia Haiti.
Haiti.
Yeah.
Your parents were?
John P. Haiti and Christina Lieber.
Okay, John Haiti, who were his brothers and sisters?
Well, he had
a large family?
Yeah, he was a large family. Uh-huh.
Well, who was his father, do you know that?
Jacob.
Oh, Jacob Haiti.
Uh-huh. And his mother was Katharina Mann.
Mann, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, your mother's name was Lieber, and
yes.
Her father was Joe Lieber.
Joe Lieber, uh-huh.
Okay.
And Rosa Roebuck. It's the mother.
It's the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and, okay, Mrs. Shearhart,
well, we just looked that up and we saw it on this course. It comes so near to the other first lady that we're assuming that's a very possibility.
Okay, Dominic Lieber was born May the 1st, 1845, So that was about, oh, 6 or 8 months after they settled the town.
Mm-hmm.
And who told you that he was the first boy born? Did someone tell you this? All right. Now, Dominic and Joe Lieber's mother was Katerina Lieber. Is that right?
They had more brothers.
Yes, I know. Uh-huh. But anyway, it says on her obituary card here that she came to Castroville March 19, 1845. Mm-hmm. So she was probably the very first group that came here.
I did.
And we were,
that's why we compared.
We understand from writings that the men came in 44, September,
mm-hmm.
and sort of laid the town out, you know, and then the women only came in the spring of 45, so she might have been in the first group.
Yeah.
And then if she had a baby on May 1st, 1845, it is possible that he was one of the first children born in Castroville. So we'll check this out.
Yeah.
Okay, Mrs. Shearhart, you and your husband, Julius, have how many children?
Four.
And are they all living?
Yeah.
They're still all living.
Yeah.
Okay, your oldest is?
Is Ethel.
Ethel.
Mm-hmm.
And then?
Then Annamae. Omer. And Elroy.
And Elroy. Okay, so you have two girls and two boys. And your husband was Julius, and he was the son of?
Edward Shearhart.
Now, Edward Shearhart has a kind of a famous reputation in these parts because he killed the Indian chief.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Ethel wrote an interesting little paper when she was in school that Father has. I hope that she'll give the parish a copy of this so we can keep it in our archives. We're going to compile an archive after we're through with some of this research. You had a fifth child.
Yeah. Was born, stillborn.
Stillborn, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, Ed Shearhart was the son of Nicholas Shearhart. So he was one of the original family.
Yeah, he was
The third son.
Son of the Nicholas Shearhart.
Okay, now Mr. Ed Shearhart lived to be quite old, didn't he? How old was he when he died?
92.
Oh, 92?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And what year did he die?
1943, but I don't know the exact year.
20.
Okay, 1943. Now, your husband Julius died in what year?
1967.
Okay. Okay, Ethel, here is your second daughter. An oldest daughter, right?
Yeah, my oldest daughter.
Oldest daughter. And we were talking about Ed Shearhart. His wife was Anna Stefana?
Stefana.
Now, what was her profession? I understand she had an interesting profession.
She was a doctor.
A doctor.
Yeah.
A midwife, what they call it. And she went all over and helped
everybody was needed.
Yeah.
Even on horseback.
Yeah.
She went once. More than once, I guess, across the river, you know. And the river was up once.
Well, in those days, they didn't always have a doctor available, huh?
Yeah.
Then also for having babies, they didn't consider this, I imagine, enough reason to call the doctor unless they had trouble.
Yeah, she was not only a midwife, she would doctor children, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was good.
Go ahead and tell me about that, Ethel.
Well, my grandmother's name was Anna Francisca Stabenet. She was born on July the 16th of St. Anne. Her twin sister was Francisca Anna. They both had medical diplomas. They both graduated from the University of Innsbruck, Indiana, Austria. It is still standing, and I mentioned this once to Hans Fehm, the husband of Talita, Hans Mangold, and I said, did you ever hear of the University of Innsbruck? And he said, oh my yes, it's still one of the most famous places in Europe. In the war, it was bombed to the ground. It has been rebuilt. It is one of the most famous places in Europe for the orthopedics. That is, you know, the for the crippled legs and arms and all, they make the things.
Okay, now, where did she come to the country, to this country first, Anna Stefana?
To San Antonio.
And who did she work with there?
First Dr. Hurst. And also then she sent for her sister. Then for a time they both worked for him. And then Dr. Hurst one day said, I have not enough work for to keep both of you. The Santa Rosa is not big enough, but I know that now they already have over 200 doctors, but at that time it was not big enough for three. He said, I know of a small town, they have no doctor. The place is Castroville. So she came here.
Do you know what year that was?
Possibly, I could not waste time now, but I could get that for you. And she came here to the, Mrs. Bates had a hotel here. She came here and stayed for quite some time. And one morning, Mrs. Bates, I did not never know this, but Mrs. Applewhite, I think, was the one that told me, Fanny Keller's mother, said that Mrs. Bates said that, what is the matter, Mrs. Gerhardt? Well, that made your bed this morning, but your pillow is all wet. What happened? And she said, well, see, I have been crying all night long. I can't get no patients. All my money is gone, and I know today you will put me on the street. And she said, oh, no, we don't do that. If you have no money, you don't worry. I will not send you away. And she said, well, but nobody wants me because I am a woman doctor.
Well, and she married at this time.
And
oh,
then
so she was still
Mrs. And then she said, Mrs. Faith said, I'll tell you what, there is a little boy, he's just about to die. Would you go to him? Nobody can do anything for him. I will take you to the little boy. And so she went, and in a few days the little boy recovered. She doctored his job. And then she said, but you see what your trouble is. Nobody knows you. Nobody has met you. I tell you what, I will have a dance for you to meet the people. And dance she could very well. So all of Castroville, there was a dance given by Mrs. Bates to introduce Anna Sevenick as a doctor. And I assume that my grandfather, well, at that time was a widower. He must have attended the dance. They must have met.
All right, so your grandfather was married to who the first?
Katharina Youngman that had died.
They had no children?
Yes, they had Mary and John.
Mary and John.
Lorraine Holler's mother was married, just married. Grandpa's daughter by the first wife. And so then they married, they married in due time, they married, and they had Robert, Clotilda, and Julius. Robert died in a few months. But what she did with the people, she went by buggy all the way to Uvalde. She went all over the country. She always, at the attendance of a baby, she always returned for 9 consecutive days to bathe the mother and the child. She swam the river with her horse when the river was high. She had never learned to swim. She rode side saddle, a red tapestry saddle. She had a snow white horse, which my father said he just hated to see it rain. I don't know at what time he was old enough to assume this privilege, which he thought a beauty, to scour the horse at the river. This horse was so well trained that if she'd be out all night, she could at any time, day or night, get the horse started, go sound asleep, and the horse would come to the gate, and my grandfather, he was the babysitter, perhaps the first babysitter of Castroville, he'd come to the gate, the wife would be sound asleep, and the horse would be waiting for him to open the gate. She always wore long sleeves because at all times we still had it, what they called the billy, which was a tiny leather club about 10 to 12 inches long with an iron knot in front, and she could at any time flip that out.
Oh, so she would.
And boot somebody on the head
had
if
herself protected
they molested that. Her. She carried my father with her from the time he was 3 weeks old. She always had hoped to make a doctor out of little Julius. Grandfather always said he was going to make a cowboy out of him. I think Julius just grew up to be a regular American boy. And The Sundays were always taken up doctoring the Mexican people. The correct were all up.
Okay, we're running out.